Hello and welcome. I am your host, Christy Brandt, and this is In Business Shelby County. Thank you to Echo Effect for providing us with this audio recording. Echo is located in Shelbyville at 102 East Washington. And if you haven't been here before, this place literally has it all. It has full-on audio recording, band performance, movies, karaoke. You can book your corporate event here. You can book your birthday party here. You can book a lock-in here. You can really do it all in this venue, and it can all be on tape. I will note that while they are providing the audio, the Football Follies version of this will be on YouTube, being recorded from my iPhone. So no judgment on Echo Effect for that. This podcast is put together just to feature local professionals living and blazing a trail straight out of Shelbyville. And yes, I said it, I'll say it again, I do mean Shelbyville, Indiana. So be excited, like, share, and follow. You do not want to miss this. For those that are interested in partnering with young professionals, people that are blazing their trail here in Shelbyville, are looking to help others leverage their own business, connect with us. We are definitely the place to partner if you are a digital or CRM consultant. If you are a digital tool or CRM, definitely look us up. You might be a money guru ready to help other people take their wealth to the next level, or a professional or personal development agent helping other people grow. We need you. You will also be able to realize the impact that you have on business in real time with this podcast. So with that, let's meet our guest. Thank you, Michael Lovett, for joining us.
You just call me Mike, it's fine.
Mike, okay. Yeah. Mike, thank you. He's the owner and promoter of New Era Wrestling. And I will say that your events are suspenseful.
I mean,
so I attended myself just this past Saturday, and I was covering my eyes and nail biting, just like the old days, sitting with my papaw when the DDT or the figure four would come out. It was like, I knew, like, you know, everyone's going to be okay. But there were just some moves that I was like, oh my gosh. So tell us how you got involved with this and... Yeah, just give us the deal.
How I got involved in professional wrestling. I'm insane. I knew at 9 years old this is what I wanted to do. I went to my parents. I told my parents. They thought it was a phase. He watches wrestling Friday, Saturday night. I grew up in Central Florida. I was born here in Shelbyville. My parents moved to Florida for a job opportunity. And that was the first time I ever had cable TV. So I was exposed to, like, the NWA, Georgia Championship Wrestling, WCCW out of Texas. I was just exposed to just a plethora of wrestling, and with like 100 channels that I had never experienced before.
That's way more wrestling than I had. I mean, WWF and WCW was what I was on.
The NWA, Crockett Promotions, became WCW.
Oh.
Okay. I grew up actually really despising the WWF at the time. I viewed it as cartoon. It was funny coming from a comedic wrestler, I know. So I grew up watching, like, Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, the Von Erichs out of Texas, the Fabulous Freebirds. I was like, this is amazing. This is what I want to do. And I remember, we've all seen A Christmas Story, you know, what I want for Christmas, how about what I want to be when I grow up? My theme in third grade was I wanted to be a professional wrestler. And they took me to counseling.
Oh, my gosh.
They said that's not, like, I had kids in my class that wanted to be astronauts. And they're like, oh, that's fine. We live near the Cape. It's great. I wanted to be a professional wrestler, not a football player, not a basketball player. And they said, Mike, you're not really athletic. You're kind of small. And I was. I was very undersized. And they said, maybe you should have a more realistic goal.
Aw.
So I kind of put it aside and just lived vicariously through my action figures. And I would watch wrestling, and my job would be to stand in between the living room and the kitchen and yell to my mother what was going on, because it was my mother and I who really bonded over pro wrestling.
Oh, who was her favorite?
Whoever I told her it was.
Oh.
My mom really liked Barry Windham. He was pretty and had long blonde hair, and she liked Kerry Von Erich. And I would watch wrestling 2 hours on Friday night, an hour on Friday night, 3 hours Saturday morning, 3 hours Saturday night, then I'd watch about an hour Sunday, then Sunday night before bed, I would beg my parents to let me stay up and watch, like, the Sunday night Georgia Championship Wrestling. Fast forward to moving back up here in 93, I felt very ostracized. I didn't know anybody. Mm. I left when I was in second grade and came back in eighth grade, didn't know anybody. And that was at the beginning of, like, the start of the Monday Night Wars with WCW and the WWE kind of going back and forth. And I got really into wrestling again, but it wasn't cool. And then it became cool. And I remember I was sitting with a friend of mine that we had both graduated, and we're like, let's go to this event. And we went to an event, a couple live events, and then we're like, we should really look into doing this. But it's not like you can just pick up the yellow pages and find wrestling schools.
Right.
Not back then.
Mm.
We got involved with a gentleman who was trained by or claimed to be trained by and worked with Dick the Bruiser, who put us in touch with another younger gentleman, Chad Ferguson, who was from Shelbyville, wrestled under the name Blade.
Mm.
And he told us, you know, if you guys have everything that you need, you put your money together, you buy a wrestling ring, you bring it out to my farm, and we trained outside 5 nights a week under the stars in a bean field.
Wow.
For a year.
Wow.
And there were several of us at the time. The two became five very quickly, and we got friends to help us, you know, afford the $10,000 for a wrestling ring.
Wow.
Over time, we realized, being young and stupid, we thought we knew better than we did, and we kind of ran the old guys off. And we changed the name from Midwestern Championship Wrestling to New Era Wrestling. And over time, I'll spare you the boring stuff, but the partners kind of fell away.
Mm.
And it came down to myself and one other. And he made me an offer I couldn't refuse to buy him out and continue to run the company by myself. And I've been doing that for the better part of 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been wrestling for 24 years, promoting for 20, and being an owner promoter for the last 15.
That's incredible. And I will say, you guys draw a crowd. So I wouldn't say that I walked in and, like, knew everyone there either. So this is not everyone was local that came to see this.
According to the analytics and the logistics from the Facebook advertising, we drew from four states, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, and Kentucky. Nobody from Ohio this time, boo-hoo. But we have a very large fan base, and we promote family-friendly professional wrestling. So many times wrestling gets a bad rep thanks to the Attitude Era.
Mm.
And even the WWE has toned their product down. They've went to a PG era, as they call it, the John Cena era, where there's no blood, there's no nudity, there's no suggestive themes. So on the independent scene, which is what we are, we're independent wrestlers. We work for independent promotions. So many of those are adult-themed or deathmatch-themed. We operate out of the Boys and Girls Club here in town, and we promote a family-friendly product because that's who we are. At the root of everything, I'm from Shelbyville. I grew up needing something like this.
Yeah.
The Boys Club was a great place for me when I was a kid. I learned how to shoot pool and play ping pong. I came in at the tail end of the slot cars, but we try to fill a need and fill a gap for like family entertainment that's affordable, and it's going to get you out of the house on a Saturday night for a couple hours and let you forget about your troubles and let you cheer for the good guys and boo the bad guy and maybe see somebody do something really cool in the ring.
Yeah, and the wrestlers, they are there to put on a show. So they know what they're doing. They come, they get everyone rowdy. They're heckling. I didn't realize, so there were two options. It was front row or general seating.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why wouldn't we want front row? But my husband just, you know, went ahead and paid for the tickets. So we didn't sit in the front row. And then I realized why people sit in the front row. And it's to really kind of be a part of the show. Yeah,
the front row crowd, the people that come, the diehards, they line up hours before doors.
Wow.
Our doors open at 6, 5:45 for the VIPs, for the season pass holders, so they can get their preferred seats. But the diehards, the regulars that are there every month, they know where they want to sit. They know who they're coming to cheer for, or who they're coming to get into it with, and they do. They don't hold back. Professional wrestling is one-take action theater.
Mm.
But unlike sitting at a play or watching a movie, you're encouraged to be involved. Within reason.
Yeah.
Obviously. Like, we don't look for a grandpa to get up with his walker and take a swing at anybody. But it's interactive. It's not just watching the TV. It's when I talk to young wrestlers as a coach, I'm like, the fans have to see what we're doing. They have to digest it. They have to understand it before we can move on. And I always use like a little kid inside of me that when I would see something, I would see it. And then immediately going back to it, I have to yell, "Hey, Mom, he just did this."
Oh.
And if I came back and it was too far advanced, I've already missed what happened. So in an upfront, intimate situation like this, where you can watch pro wrestling evolve, and at its core, pro wrestling is just storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
It's David and Goliath. It's good versus evil. You know, and that's literally what all theater is. It's we're telling a narrative. Every match is a 5 to 9 minute mini movie, mm-hmm. over the course of a 2.5 to 3 hour program.
Yeah, absolutely. My daughter and I have gone and watched some Cerebral County Players stuff, mm-hmm. around town.
Great organization.
And checked out The Wizard of Oz just last year. And I got the family out, brought my husband and my 2-year-old, which might have been the mistake there. He was very, very influenced by the ongoings at the match. But... yeah, I mean, theatrics on point. That's what it was. I mean, we had the guys had the lights going, you had sound, you had the video. There was like the build up before. Yeah, people came out.
It is a full four television production. It's just live and in the boys' club. Of course, you know, we don't have the $1 million budget or, you know, a TV station behind us, but yeah, there's full video production, lights, sound. There's characters to get behind. We have an amazing ring announcer. I'd prefer to call her like a host, and is a Nikki Mariani, and she really engages the crowd. She embraces our all-inclusive mentality. And then our general manager, Chris Icon, goes out and just tells everybody, Chris was one of our original partners.
Mm.
He walked away for a period of time and came back. He said, "Mike, I don't want to be an owner, but I want to be involved."
Huh?
And I said, "I've got the job for you."
Yes.
How about... you take my job. How about you become the general manager of this company? You run the day-to-day operations. Let me handle the logistics. Let me handle the finances. Let me enjoy not being at the show. And that, in turn, allows me to put on a pair of tights and become somebody else. I don't have to be the boss. I too, am a wrestler, so.
Yeah, very entertaining. So you mentioned coaching. So do you actively, like, kind of train people who are pursuing the professional wrestling career?
I do. About 4 years ago, I opened the New Era Wrestling Academy. Our first, call him success story, was a young man by the name of Braden Lee. From 6 months from the day Braden came to our school, 6 months later to the day he was on Monday Night Raw.
Wow!
He was only an extra, but he still got to say within 6 months... he got his foot in the door at the biggest sports entertainment company in the world.
That's incredible.
I have trained. I'm on my third official class. I have several different assistant coaches and au pairs. But and even before I had Braden in the academy, I trained wrestlers on the road, which meant we didn't have a facility. We would meet up early on a show day, and we would travel 4 or 5 hours to wherever the event was, and I would coach and train wrestlers in somebody else's facility at their building before a show. Then I would go back to the locker room. I would get changed. I would go out and wrestle the show. Then the trainee would then take me home. But yeah, we're on our third class. We just had an open house actually this last week for our fourth class.
Wow.
My program is a very methodical program. I've seen wrestling schools that claim we can make anybody a wrestler in 12 weeks. We can make anybody a wrestler in 6 months. My program's 15 months.
Mm.
We focus heavily on fundamentals, footwork, and psychology of professional wrestling. And I tell everybody, professional wrestling isn't doing maneuvers. It's what we do between the moves that separates us from backyard wrestlers or wannabe wrestlers. What makes us truly professionals is knowing how to operate and when to move and when not to move.
So what... tell me about the psychology of wrestling.
The psychology of wrestling. At its core, I mean, I'm not letting out anything new here. Professional wrestling is predetermined. I hate to ruin that for you.
Yeah.
I hate the F word. You cannot fake gravity and you cannot fake impact. But what I can fake is the outcome of a match. So yes, when I go through the curtain, I know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to... I know where A and Z are, but the other 24 letters of the alphabet are all, you know, ad-libbed or roughly outlined psychology in professional wrestling is, does it make sense to do this? Not what I did, but why did I do it? If I wouldn't do it in a legitimate fight, why would I do it here? Oh. So it's the believability. And yes, sometimes we have to suspend disbelief and we see like a 110-pound guy pick up a 300-pound man. Everybody wants to be a superhero. But psychology is taking something that is inherently ridiculous. Guys without pants fighting for a belt with larger-than-life characters and catchphrases or flashy ring attire and making what we do, at least in the moment, seem believable. But yeah, that makes sense. I would do that. To make a casual fan or a non-fan such as yourself to sit down and be like, well, that made sense. If you can make a play fight make sense, then it transcends being a play fight and it becomes entertainment. It's like Hollywood actors and stuntmen have hours and hours of training for a 5-minute fight sequence. I'm going to have 5 of them this week. And I have to make every one of them make sense.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't make sense, well, what's the old saying? If it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. Mm. And the whole point is to bring them back.
That's awesome.
To bring fans back in.
So, oh my gosh, I had a question.
I'm sorry, I'm very long-winded.
Well, I guess I need to reveal myself. I did go to WrestleMania 8. I know that sounds like the time that you were not loving the wrestling.
No.
So I am a little, I do know about that time of wrestling. The
golden era was amazing. I will give it that.
Yeah. The other thing is, I watched some documentaries on like Andre the Giant, The Rock, of course, you know, some guys like that. And when they were coming up or like their families were even part of wrestling, mm-hmm. It's you. I mean, it's this. Like, to get there is this, seemingly. Would you agree?
Yes and no. Some people have a very huge support system, and you mentioned people like The Rock, who came from the Samoan dynasty. His father was a wrestler. His grandfather was a wrestler. And every one of them said the same thing. Don't do this. The biggest piece of advice I ever gave to my own son was don't do this. Go to college, get a degree. Wrestling's always going to be here. But now I'm sitting here with a nearly 21-year-old son who has wrestled in more states than I've wrestled in. He out-wrestles me to this day. He's 6'3 and 220 pounds, and he's winning championships all over the country.
Wow.
So, yes, and wrestling becomes a family. Everybody's heard the cliche, you know, Hogan calls everybody brother. You know, there are brothers and sisters in the ring. I've got family thanks to this business that I would have never had. I have people in my life that I care about. My chosen family, if you will, is so deep. My wife and I often make the statement that our doors are never locked because we never know when someone's going to need a place to crash or a brother or sister that's on the road. Instead of spending $100 on a hotel, I tell everybody, I'm 20 minutes from Indianapolis. Shoot me a message. Call me on the phone. I have a spare bedroom. That wasn't me.
Sorry.
So, yeah. It is definitely a brotherhood, and it can be a family unit. But like any family, you know, they're toxic members, and there's bad things that happen here and there. But for the most part, I think professional wrestling has been a blessing in my life.
Well, tell us, how can we find you? What are your handles?
I don't know them.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we know it's New Era Wrestling.
I have a social media manager, so I could not tell you what the actual, like the, I know Facebook is facebook.com/NewEraWrestling46176. I believe the Instagram is @new_era_wrestling. And the X is @newera317 or @newera_indy. Don't quote me. Because, again, I do have a social media manager and I did not come prepared.
Oh, no problem. Well, you will be able to find him on In Business Shelby County. You have been a wonderful guest. Don't forget, like, share, subscribe, and follow. We're on YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And thank you so much. Make it a good day.